Good evening. It is 5 p.m. and this is Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by CFRC's News Collective, Christina Laurie, Jesse Bell, Henry Walker, and Ellie MacArthur. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist Christina Laurie, and here are your local news headlines. After an uncharacteristically quiet few weeks in the University District, the University District Safety Initiative has now been lifted, marking an end to what is typically the fall party season. Homecoming, FOCO, and Halloween all passed without much fanfare, prompting mixed reactions. For Bylaw and Kingston Police, the weekends were considered a success. Dan Hazel, supervisor of enforcement with the city, had this to say.
I'm really happy to report back to the community and the Queens community that this year's homecoming, the official weekend, was a very successful event. Very quiet on the enforcement end. There was really no hotspots of concern throughout the entire weekend. It was exceptionally quiet. It was nice to see the alumni back to our community. The oldest coat I saw was a 1972 alumni. Had a quick discussion on him, and it was really nice to see them come back to the community. For the second weekend, we did issue 13 penalty notices under the Administrative Monetary Penalties Bylaw, which is a very low number in comparison to the last previous years. So I would say that the second weekend was also successful. I think from my side of the table, I just want to give a huge thank you to all of our community partners, the Queen's community, Queen's University, Kingston Police, the police liaison teams, and to the enforcement officers that were all on duty for the event to make it as safe as possible.
Hazel attributed the success to the work done leading up to the weekend, particularly improved communication and outreach with students.
I think the main factor right now is the communication ahead of the events. Exceptional coordination amongst the Queen's University community, the AMS, the Kingston Police, and Bylaw Enforcement, really just to identify the areas or times that we might need it, using social media posts and getting the information out to the public on what the University Safety District Initiative is. All those efforts seem to be trending as a community in the right direction, and it seems that the events are now becoming less and less enforcement-based and more community-oriented, which we're very happy to see. So I suspect for the future, into the next years, we'd continue with those models with the ultimate goal of having these events go off and no community safety concerns.
However, the biggest conversation among students and alumni wasn't about enforcement. It was about timing. Students and alumni continue to express frustration that homecoming has been scheduled during reading week in recent years, saying the shift has made it difficult for current students and returning grads to connect. Queen's undergraduate student Hannah Harrison voiced that feeling in a video posted on TikTok.
I think Queen's is absolutely diabolical for always making our HOCO on a day when it's our reading week and none of the students are here, and here's why. So yesterday, I was visiting a family member who it was their 20th reunion from graduating from Queen's. We were at the Queen's pub, and I went to the bar to get a drink, and there was a guy there who's got to be at least 85 years old. Okay, he graduated in like 1960. Okay, so do the math. And he's looking around, he looks kind of sad. And I was like, oh, hi, sir. Like, are you all right? Are you looking for someone? And he goes, well, I'm looking for the students. Where are the students? And I said, well, it's our reading week. Like, nobody's really here. And he goes, that makes me so sad because what I look forward to the most about coming back to Queens is seeing all of you being so happy and having fun with your friends and reminding me of the best time of my life. So after my heart broke a little, I thought about it. And honestly, the whole point of Queens making homecoming on our reading week is so that we don't drink and party too much. Well, we just do it the next weekend anyway, so it literally changes nothing for us. However, it ruins the experience for the alumni.
That sentiment has been echoed across social media by students and alumni alike, with many alumni saying they plan to include it in their feedback to the university. When asked about the scheduling choice, Queens responded in a written statement, quote, "The event took place on the third weekend of October, consistent with past years. Students continued to play an important role through volunteerism within their faculties and by supporting events, helping to create a welcoming experience for returning graduates," end quote. The university also noted that this year marks one of the highest attended homecoming weekends in recent years, reflecting a steady increase in alumni engagement over the past 3 years. Looking ahead, the 2026 dates are set for October 16th to 18th, once again landing at the tail end of reading week. That wraps up your headlines for this evening. Next up is Henry Walker with your campus news for this week.
Thank you, Chris. I'm Henry, and this is CFRC 101.9's Campus Beat, bringing you Queen's Campus News. Queen's University is midway through its fall 2025 convocation ceremonies this week. With over 9 ceremonies, all held from November 3rd to 7th in Grant Hall, the university is conferring degrees on graduates from across all faculties and schools. Convocation marks the formal recognition of degree completion for students who finish their studies during the summer or fall terms. Each ceremony includes academic regalia, an address from senior university officials, and the conferral of honorary degrees. Two distinguished Canadians are being recognized this week. On Monday morning, Uzma Jalaluddin, an award-winning author whose fiction explores Muslim and South Asian Canadian experiences, received an honorary Doctor of Laws. Later that afternoon, the Honorable Dr. Rosemary Moody, Ontario Senator, pediatrician, and advocate for children's health and equity, was also awarded an honorary degree. Today's ceremonies, on Wednesday, November 5th, focus on graduates from the Faculty of Health Sciences and the Faculty of Arts and Science. Additional ceremonies later in the week will recognize graduates from Education, Smith Engineering, and the Smith School of Business. All convocation ceremonies are live-streamed and archived on the Queen's Registrar's website for those unable to attend in person. For schedules, regalia information, and viewing links, these are all also available on queensu.ca/registrar. Queen's convocation continues through Friday, November 7th, celebrating the achievements of hundreds of new graduates and welcoming them into the university's alumni community. In other news, at its October 24th meeting, the Arts and Science Faculty Board reviewed a proposal to temporarily suspend admissions to the music theater program within the Dan School of Drama and Music. This decision follows budget decisions projecting a $16 million deficit within the faculty in the upcoming academic year. The suspension itself is also connected to a recent change at St. Lawrence College, where the Joint Music Theatre Performance Program that had been connected to the program offered at Queen's was halted last January. At the board meeting, faculty members expressed concern that these cuts and suspensions reflect deeper questions about the future of arts and humanities at Queen's University. In other news, students living in Waldron Tower were left shaken last week after a break-in early on October 25th. According to reporting, a distressed man not affiliated with the university entered the residence around 5 a.m. in the morning, breaking windows on the first floor and second floor before being taken into custody by Kingston police and transported for psychiatric evaluation. Several residents reported being awakened by loud noises and shouting, with one student reporting that they had to lock themselves in the laundry room and contact peers through their floor group chat while police responded. Queen's Residence Life and Housing confirmed that no students were injured and that a review of security measures at Waldron Tower is underway. The building currently has keycard entry, locked glass doors, and exterior lighting with 24-hour campus patrols. Officials say additional safety enhancements are being considered following this incident. Campus security and emergency services are reminding students to familiarize themselves with building safety protocols and to reach out for support through student wellness services if needed. I'm Henry Walker, and this has been your Queen's Campus Beat.
This is Jesse Bell with your Environment Canada weather report for the Kingston region. We begin with Monday, November 3rd, daytime high of 12 degrees with a 90% chance of precipitation, so more rainy weather in the forecast for the city of Kingston. Tuesday, November 4th, another 12 degree day, but this one is magnitudes nicer, sunny and breezy all day with an overnight low of 4 degrees. Wednesday, November 5th, 10 degrees is your high with a 70% chance of precipitation forecasted in the afternoon, dropping down to 2 degrees overnight. Thursday, November 6th, 7 degrees, partly sunny, 25% chance of rain, overnight low of 1 degree, so right around the freezing point. Friday, November 7th, 8 degrees with a 60% chance of precipitation in the afternoon, dropping down just a single degree to 7 overnight. Saturday, November 8th, 9 degrees with intervals of cloud and sunshine throughout the day, dropping down to 5 overnight. Sunday, November 9th, daytime high of 9, 75% chance of rain in the morning, otherwise just kind of cloudy and gray. And moving into the start of next week, Monday, November 10th, daytime high of just 5, dropping down to 0 overnight. This is your City of Kingston traffic report for the week. We begin with road closures. Aberdeen Street, William 2 Johnson is closed to accommodate construction activity and staging. Albert Street, Princess 2 Mac is closed to accommodate construction activity and staging at 484 Albert Street. Berry Street, Bagot to Union, closed November 3rd to 7th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. each day to accommodate operations. Berry Street, Queen to Colborne, closed for construction-related activity at 283 Queen Street. Brass Point Bridge, closed November 4th from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. for the replacement of bridge deck planks. Motorists are asked to plan their travel accordingly and exercise caution in the area. Earl Street, Collingwood to Toronto, closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. Kings Court Avenue is closed until November 21st at Concession and First for gas main installation by a Utilities Kingston contractor. Raglan Road, Division to Main, is closed until November 30th from 7:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. each day for a gas main installation. Toronto Street, Durham to Park, is closed November 3rd to November 28th for installation of new water, sanitary, and storm services. University, Union to Stewart, is closed November 3rd at 7 a.m. to November 4th at 7 p.m. to dismantle a tower crane. Victoria Street, Union to Johnson, is closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. Here are some other delays to be aware of. Bay Ridge Drive, Milford to Henderson, expect delays for the construction of new active transportation infrastructure and intersection upgrades. Catwoods Drive, Centennial to Gardeners, expect delays for the construction of a new multi-use pathway. Front Road, Sand Bay to Country Club, expect delays for the installation of sanitary and water main for Utilities Kingston. Traffic will be reduced to one lane in each direction. Highway 15, Kingston Mills to Middle, expect delays for a contractor to complete work on the Highway 15 CNR overhead structure. John Marks Avenue and Innovation Drive, expect delays while a contractor mobilizes to start work on John Marks Ave, Innovation Drive, and Discovery Ave. Work includes curb, sidewalk, asphalt milling, and repaving. Lancaster Drive, Limestone to Jasper. Expect delays while a contractor completes construction of a new sidewalk and road improvements. Montreal at John Counter. Expect delays for upgrades to the intersection, including new lighting, traffic signals, lanes, paving, and signage to improve safety and efficiency for all road users. Taylor Kidd Boulevard, Collins Bay to Coronation. Expect delays until November 7th at 7 p.m. for the replacement of two culverts. Trudell Road, development to Danbury. Expect delays while a contractor completes road and sidewalk improvements. And Victoria Street and Earl Street. Expect delays while a contractor mobilizes to site to start work on the second phase of reconstruction of sewer, water main, sidewalks, and road.
Hey, you're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM. My name is Ellie MacArthur, a CFRC intern from the Queen's Department of History, and it's time for our concerts calendar for November 3rd through the 9th. If you had a crazy Halloween weekend, ease into your week on Monday with Jazz Society Jam at the RCHA starting at 4:30 p.m. Also on Monday at the Cove Inn, check out Monday Musical Residency Series featuring Jonathan Jones starting at 5 p.m. Moving into Tuesday, catch Tom's Tuesday Afternoon Happy Hour Jam at the RCHA from 4 to 7 p.m. and Roots Tuesdays featuring Sarah Siegel-Lazar at the Cove Inn starting at 5 p.m. Open Mic with Carrick McAllister is at Jersey Sports Bar starting at 7 p.m. On Wednesday, we have some guaranteed good times with Chris Murphy at the RCHA from 7 p.m. At the Creekside Bar, Christopher Jackson starting at 6 p.m., and open mic at Hotel Wolf Island with special guests Hollow Body and Jay Harris starting at 7:30, so hop on the ferry. There's some nights where you wish you could be two places at once, and Thursday is one of those nights. Last Call, Rust Pump, and Dutch Baby are at the Toucan starting at 9:30 p.m. Leanne, Bettis, and Mosake Simpson and Boyhood are at the Broom Factory at 7:30 p.m. Jeff Dunn is at the RCHA at 7 p.m. Clear Breeze, instrumental groove-oriented jazz and bossa nova classics is at Hotel Wolf Island starting at 6 p.m. Grand on Stage presents James Barker Band and Zach Bakie at the Kingston Grand Theater starting at 7:30 p.m. Culture Reject is at Musiki starting at 8 p.m. and Original Thursdays with Kent Nicholson is at the Cove Inn at 5 p.m. On Friday, see the master at work, Ken Yates, at the Broom Factory starting at 7:30 p.m. Grand on Stage presents Elisa P at the Kingston Grand Theater at 7:30 p.m., who is a Canadian Inuk musician. She blends tradition and modernity in her music and is an absolute must-see. The Sitting Ducks play the RCHA at 8 p.m. Scott Owen plays the Creekside Bar at 6 p.m. Simon Kempston at Hotel Wolf Island at 8:30. Retro Riffs at KNR Sports Bar at 8 p.m. For some hairography, you know them and you love them, Rest Pump plays with Sleep on the Couch and the Bends at the Merchant at 10:30 p.m. It's the Goose's Loose Tour 2025 with Rogue Rising, Pull the Curtains, Slack and Idle at Overtime Sports Bar starting at 9 p.m. And Michael Capon is on the pipe organ at St. James Anglican Church. This starts at 5 p.m. On Saturday, November 8th, catch Georgia Hammer and Sister Ray at the Broom Factory starting at 7:30 p.m. For a night of fun with friends, catch The Trifecta, Last Call, Doghouse, and Dutch Baby at the Merchant at 10:30 p.m. There are no in-person tickets for this event. Tickets can be found through the band's websites. Also on Saturday at the Grad Club, starting at 8:30 p.m., is Cabbage and Brass Over Tea Kettle. It's a stacked night at the Mansion with Passenger Princess, Monac, Seth Hunt, and Echoes starting at 8 p.m. And Harmon E's Afterlife album release tour is at the Mansion at 10:30. It's a nice and easy Sunday with Youth Open Mic at the Broom Factory from 1 to 3 p.m. Sundays with Eric and Megan, Folk Duo at the Cove Inn starting at 5 p.m. Kim Pollard live at the Loaf and Ale Pub, Napanee, starting at 5 p.m. And finally, the open mic with Steve G at Time Out Bar, starting at 7 p.m. Thank you so much for joining me this week. If you have a concert that you would like to add to our online or on-air event calendar, reach out today via cfrc.ca or at CFRC Music on Instagram using the link tree in our bio. How's it going? I'm Ellie MacArthur, a CFRC intern from the Queen's Department of History, and you're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM. It's time for our events calendar for the week. Everyone needs some mental stimulation after this Halloween weekend, so start off your week right with Trivia Night at Something in the Water Brewing at 8 p.m. If you're looking to donate some old clothes or pick some up, the Children's Clothing Swap is at McIntosh Quarry Hall, room B176. From 1 to 2:30 p.m. on Tuesday. Indigenous Drumming at Trellis HIV and Community Care Center goes from 1 to 3 p.m. The Kingston Public Market is at Spring Market Square from 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. And of course, Jack's Tuesday Night Trivia starts at 7 p.m. Running Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday is the Gem and Mineral Sale at the Miller Museum in Miller Hall, room 100B, from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. The first Wednesday of every month is the Open Stage Drag Show at the Grad Club starting at 8 p.m. And Holy Karaoke, it's karaoke at Jersey Sports Bar starting at 7 p.m., karaoke at Time Out Bar starting at 8 p.m., and if that's not enough, karaoke at the Mansion starts at 9 p.m. If you just couldn't make it to karaoke on Wednesday, on Thursday, catch karaoke at Tiernan Og starting at 9 p.m. There's also trivia at Riverhead starting at 7 p.m. and trivia at the Queen's Pub starting at 9 p.m. on Thursday. On Thursday and Friday, Grand on Stage presents Fat Joke, Stand Up and Storytelling at Kingston Grand Theater starting at 7:30 p.m. Also on Friday, Rogue Studio of Dance has a showcase at La Vida Bistro Bar and Social starting at 8 p.m. And the Celtic Kitchen Party is at Tiernan Og starting at 9 p.m. On Saturday, November 8th, catch Lights on the Lake. Craig Jones at the Great Lakes Museum, fundraiser for Easter Seals Ontario, starting at 8 p.m. This is the third annual fundraiser. Also on Saturday, Through the Looking Glass Burlesque Troupe at the Royal Theatre Thousand Islands, starts at 8 p.m. Fascinating Rhythm, Cannibal Choirs of Kingston, Kyoto Odoga is at the Spire at 7:30 p.m. And on Sunday, catch Slash Need, Sled Performance Art Dance, and visual project by Evan Gordon at the Grad Club starting at 8 p.m. Family One Something's Fishy is at Kingston Grand Theater at 2:30 p.m. This is perfect for kids with slapstick, comedy, and music. And to close out the week, Karaoke at the Toucan is at 10:30 p.m. And those are our events for the week. Thank you so much for joining me. If you have an event that you would like to add to our online and on-air event calendar, you can reach out today via cfrc.ca or at cfrcmusic on Instagram using the link tree in our bio.
Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and hear more from some of our guests, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.